the time to go for the water. That's the time to hold back no reserves. When the Spirit of God comes to anoint our songs, that's the time to really sing. When the Spirit of God comes to hear our prayer, now that's the time to really pray. When the Spirit comes in prophecy and anoints us with the prophetic anointing, now that's the time to open up and declare or prophesy that which is in our heart. Now you can make mistakes or not, but that's the time to do it. When you feel the Spirit moving, when you see Him stirring the water, when you see the Spirits come to visit, now that's the time to really go for it. That's the time to really enter in. And those that enter in first will get that for which the Spirit was sent that time or that day. And you say, well, how can it be that only one person, the first one to really go, will be touched? I don't know, but for years I've observed one very curious thing. And that is that the Spirit will be over a service in a very particular way, very ready to move, but He waits until one person will open up. And it takes that one person, and if they will do that little simple act, which in this case was just go into the water or touch the water or be submerged in the water, whichever, they would be healed. Now, when that took place, or when that takes place, the whole service cracks through. The angels come and minister. But that first person that touched through in that act of obedience is the one that took what God came to bring. Now you say, well, how about the rest? Well, I don't know. Read the little story. Now here is a man that for 38 years waited. Oh, I was afraid the first time. I thought it was some voodoo trick. Second thing, I didn't know whether it was God or what it was. I had to see a few healed first before I was going to try it very hard. But third of all is because he was incapacitated. He really couldn't. And I'd like to say something tonight that I don't intend for it to hurt us any. But after all, it's a matter of knowing that we need it and not being offended with someone observing what we're into. And that's the fact that he was incapacitated and could not move into that. By way perhaps of palsy or perhaps by way of paralysis. But we've got a different paralysis. We've got a paralysis that absolutely denies us any movement of freedom when the Holy Ghost is moving in a service. And those are bondages worse than paralysis. That's a bondage that grips the soul so tight you cannot pray. It binds the mouth so shut that you cannot speak. It binds the emotions and locks them up so tight you cannot be free. It locks up your arms so tight you cannot lift them up. You go into a total state of paralysis because of the tremendous bondages that locks us. So you see, the only problem with this man is that he couldn't move into that which God was doing. If he could move into it, if he could but touch it, if he could but make that little, step, not of even faith, but of obedience. If he could have just but walked there, if he could have just done something about it, but he couldn't. Now here's a man that wanted to, but couldn't. He had bondage on his heart. He had things that were prohibiting him to do what he really wanted to do. Now that's where we are. There's a paralysis in our soul. God wants us to look at His Word and see in it a mirror that reflects back to us our condition. And as far as I'm concerned, until we really realize that we belong to this multitude, we're not going to get anywhere. Until we realize that we're part of the multitude of blind, of halt, until we realize that we're part of that multitude that's locked up and bound up inside our soul and spirit, we cannot be free, we need help, and until He sets us free, we can't even move out in the things of the Spirit when He comes to even be healed in our soul and spirit. Anytime the Spirit moves, if we but move a little tiny bit, it frightens us so out of our life. Look at tonight. We weren't afraid to sing tonight. Fortunately, the Spirit wasn't going to do what He did Thursday night. And I knew it. He told me before I came. He said, you just preach this word. So all I needed is just a song to get ready because it's pretty hard for me just to stand up here and start. That's all the orders I got. Stand up here and preach. That's all. And when I'm through, I'm going to pray and that's it. First of all, what kind of a multitude have we got? Second of all, when the Spirit moves, that's the time to get in, because the first person to get in is the one that's going to get God wrought. And you say, well, everybody's blessed. Sure they are. But I know another thing, and that's that Jesus Christ came to this man who wanted to be free but had so many bondages that he could not. And he asked him only one question. He didn't say, what are you sick of, buddy? He didn't ask him even if he knew he was sick. God's Spirit said to him through his only begotten Son that day, wilt thou? Will you? Do you really want to be free? Are you going to live forever like that? He says, well, look, he said, I can't be free. He said, I didn't ask you if you could be. He said, I can make you free. He said, I don't need the stirring of the water. He said, I can do the work for you. I don't need to wait for revival. I can do it right now, tonight. I can do it this very moment. I can take the shackles off your heart. I can make your legs so that the next time you're the first one that can jump into that pool when the Spirit moves. I can take the fears away from it. I can take the paralysis from off your heart. I can take those bondages of blindness off your spirit. I can do it, but wilt thou that I do it? That was his question. Now that's a question the Spirit would ask you tonight, whether there was 10 here tonight or not. That's the question the Spirit came to ask you. Wilt thou? Now the only way I can answer that rightfully is to be able to accept the fact that I belong to that motley crew. Whilst I feel I have nothing wrong, while I'm not even aware of my bondages, while I can sit through a sermon where he says, but thou sayest thou art rich, but I say unto you that you're poor, wretched, blind, miserable, and I don't recognize it, I can't even start. You see, the people that had gone to church that day were the people who knew they had a problem. That's why they were there. They knew they were blind. Do you suppose, just knowing human nature, that any of the people who could see and had another problem would guide the blind there first so that they could get touched? How many blind were there that couldn't see the pool? I don't know. Maybe they ran in the wrong direction when somebody told them. Maybe did anybody tell them the pool was being stirred because they couldn't see it? But Christ came to this man and he said, wilt thou be made whole? Now I'm not talking about just physical healing. That's fine if God will heal your body. You know, I've delighted in God's healing my body, but I also realize that I can go to hell with my healed body. In fact, at times I feel if he doesn't leave it too healed, I might just not go to hell. I have a reason not to. He'll keep me somewhere where I need to be. But be that as it might, this happened to be about a physical healing. But when the Spirit began to show me this, I begin to see it as something that had to do with our church. It had something to do with our people. It had something to do with this place. It had something to do with our heart. It had something to do with our spirit. And he was saying, this is the motley crew I'm preaching to. He said, right to you. He said, now I have a question for you. Wilt thou be made whole? Now there's two ways that you can be made whole. One is an encounter with Christ and the other is to move when the Spirit is moving. Either way will get you the same results. But this man was saying, Lord, when your Spirit moving, I'm so bound, I cannot move. I either sleep through it, or I'm afraid to death of it, or I find a chair in the back of the hall as soon as they place the things against there, or I just sit and watch it like a spectacle. Either way, he said, but I can't enter in that way. He said, then my friend, if you intend to have anything done to your soul and spirit, he said, I'm going to have to do something for you. Now here goes the question, wilt thou be made whole? Will you have the shackles taken from your heart? Will you have the bondage broken? Will you have me take those things off so that when the Spirit moves, you can? That's his question. Now it's very simple. There must come an acknowledgement. Now you say to me, well, what do we have to do? Just accept the fact that we're miserable, poor, and blind, needy? No, he's not asking for a personal acceptance. You know why this man was here? Because he knew he was sick. And he knew that that was the only place where he had any hope. You know what his problem was? That he'd been there 38 years and never got his problem met. You know, some of you have been here a long time and still the shackles remain. The paralysis to move in the Spirit still upon your soul. Every time the Spirit would move, you'd be the first to run. And your lips clam up, your ears shut down, your brain fogs up. Instead of your eyes being stained with tears, they're stained with fright. Instead of eye salve to understand that that's the Spirit moving, we don't know what in the earth's going on. We just say, "Dear Jesus, help me, because I don't know what in the world's going on. I'm frightened to death about this." Hey, look, when the Spirit stirred the water, jump in, because that's the best results you'll ever get. When the angel stirred the water, the first to jump in, without asking any questions, he was the one that took the lot. Now, we're not talking about the bondage to get there. We're talking about a man that couldn't get there. We're talking about a man who, when the angels came, could not get in. We're talking about a man that was so bound, he wasn't only sick. He had bondage in his sickness. That's why Christ came and did something about it. And I took a little bit of hope. I realized that the reason why some days there's something lovely and some days there's not is because there's seasons when the Spirit will move. There's times where the Spirit of God is sent. There's times of refreshing. That could be once a week, once a month, once every 3 months, or every other month. I don't know when it is. As far as I'm concerned, I'd love it to be every night. But that's not my question before God. That's not for me to question even. What I see so many times is that the Spirit of God will come and draw near to our heart again and again and again, and we do so little of it, about it, I mean. We take in so little of it. It's almost like if there's a bondage. Everything is prepared. Everything is there, and our heart can't come in. Our spirit can't come in. The waters are being stirred. The season of refreshing has been announced from heaven. Suddenly He's there. The Spirit of God is there. Suddenly we find ourselves wanting to do something we just cannot do. Suddenly we find ourselves, "God, if I could only jump out in the midst of it and just be free, but my soul is locked in a paralysis from head to toe. I cannot move." Now, Jesus knew his problem. I imagine the waters had just recently been stirred because this was fresh in his mind, you see. And I think it's fitting that I should have seen this just a couple days after I felt the Spirit was really sweetly moving upon that service on Thursday night. Not that he doesn't always, but there was something real peculiar about that night. The Spirit of God was like if he's telling us, "I want to be free, let's go." Almost like if heaven was announcing, "Look, as far as I'm concerned, the time's already. I'd come every night now. Look at tonight." You see, there's some problems here. Jesus came to him, no doubt, just after the waters had been stirred. And he looked at him. He realized that when the water had been stirred, he couldn't make it in. And to that crowd, to that person, he is now asking a question. A question that the Spirit of the Lord could be asking you tonight. Wilt thou? You see, the first thing the man said to Jesus when he answered the question, it would have been much simpler for him just to say, "Well, Lord, yes." The Lord hadn't asked him why he was in that condition. But he did say something to him that revealed the honesty of his heart. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there for a long time, verse 6, "In that case he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Now that's the question of the Spirit to your heart. "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." He didn't answer yes. He was saying something to the Lord. He said, "Lord, yes, of course. I've always wanted to. But it's out of my hands. I cannot." That was his answer. "I will, but I cannot. When the waters are stirred, I intend to, but others make it there. But nobody helps me. Here there's no love. There's no compassion. Here there's no somebody else come first. Here it's first served, first get. That's it. I didn't have anybody help me." He said, "My problem is that I want to and can't." Now that's a good, honest answer. "While I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said, "Well, you won't need to step down this time. You can just step up, rise." I like that. The cure for every other person was to step down. He said, "Well, I'll just make you stand up." Why? The Lord loved his answer. It was an honest one. He said, It was a roundabout thing. He didn't just answer it in yes or no, but you can see it in his answer. He said, Lord, of course I do. I've tried every time to go when the waters were stirred. I want to be healed from this. I want to be free from this. First of all, there was an admittance that he needed it. There was an admittance that he was sick. There was an observation that he was there in that crowd, not just because he went there to see what went on when the waters were stirred. He was there because he needed to get in. That was the first admittance. The second admittance is that he had no help, and without help, he would not make it. And that's a good admittance to make. I wonder tonight how many could stand before the Spirit, just cold, cold turkey. Just stand out of your chair and say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to move when you move, but I realize I cannot because no one helps me. Will you help me? Will you break my shackles? Will you pick me up and take me on when the Spirit's moving so that my soul and spirit can be healed before you when your angels come to stir the land's water? No one helps me. The Lord said to them, well, I will. I can help you. Then he said unto them, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And the last thing I'd like to point out to you is the act of obedience. If there's one thing that's brought sadness to my heart again and again and again and again, I don't think there's been any church that I've been able to witness where the Spirit comes, where there's such a lack of obedience to the Spirit as in this church. The man got up when he said rise. He began to walk when he said walk. And immediately he was made whole. There was an obedience in response. He didn't question, well, who in the world are you? Have you come to tease me or what? Don't you realize that Saturday nights are meant to be a little bit, you know, dumpy? It was the Sabbath, or didn't you read it? That's Saturday. It wasn't Sunday for them, that's Saturday. He said it was the Sabbath. That's what brought on the contention with the Jews. That on a Saturday night he did such a thing. God knows that he has to wait till all of us are here on Sunday before he could really move. But he didn't. He did it on a Saturday night. When the people weren't in the synagogue to see it. He said to this man that says, Lord, no one can help me. Paraphrased, Lord, will you help me? Because I'm in such a state that when your Spirit moves, I can't move. I'm blocked into bondage. But if you will do that, I'll obey your word. I won't question who you are. I won't question what you're saying. I won't question the fact that it's Saturday night. I won't question the fact that I don't even feel the Spirit moving. It's cold turkey. He said, just rise and walk. Do it. That's it. And the man rose and he did it. You say, well, what do you want from me? To just stand and do it? No, all I'm saying is that this man answered a question to the Holy Spirit that night or day. He said, wilt thou be made whole? That question each one of us can only answer before the Holy Spirit tonight. I can wind this thing down. We can just go home. I don't have any other orders. But one thing I know, the Spirit of the Lord asks a question. You have to have an answer. Maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow morning, and maybe two. Maybe we just do have to. You know, if I ask the question, may it lie down and die and it never bug you again. But if the Holy Spirit's asking you the question, you won't be able to put it down until you've got an answer for Him. And before we can answer the question, Lord, will I be made whole? I have to answer another question. And that's, Lord, am I in need of being made whole? I didn't come to this church because I was blind. I came to this church because they told me this would be the greatest place I could find you. I was in pretty good state. This is supposed to be one of the best churches around. That's why I'm affiliated with it. So, well, I'm sorry. He said, but that wasn't my purpose in bringing a church here. My purpose of this Five Ports Church, he said, is that the lame, the blind, the miserable, the sick, the bound, He said, those kind of people congregate, because he said, I come and visit them by my spirit and do something about it. That's a very simple message, isn't it? But the Spirit asks the question. Yes, the Spirit does move in seasons. Let me repeat that. The Spirit does move from time to time. You ask me, will tonight be a season when the Spirit's moving? No. Tonight the angels aren't going to stir the water, but tonight Christ stands before you asking you the question, are you sick or aren't you? Do you want to be healed from it? Do you want to be set free from it? Or do you want to live in it? That's tonight. I stand here with no shame whatsoever to repeat to you the words that are locked in my soul with fire. You could be a mighty giant, and I'd say them to you anyway. Because the living God is sick of our playing games, that's why. God came with a question to him, wilt thou be made whole? He didn't even ask him if he needed it. He just said, will he? Do you really want to now? And some of us folks are sick, but I can't tell you that. Some of us are very sick. We're mortally wounded from life itself. Our homes are destroyed. Our life is a mess. But I haven't been asked tonight to tell you what your life is in condition of. What the Spirit is asking us is for an honest approach before God. Am I or am I not sick? Am I or am I not bound? When the Spirit moved, how many times has the Spirit moved in this church? Could you move in it? Could you jump in it and be free in it? If you found you can't, when the waters were stirred, if you found you could not get down there, no man could help you, you were bound, so locked up, you couldn't even speak, you couldn't pray out, you couldn't sing out, you couldn't jump out, you couldn't dance out. You need help. Bad help. Because when the Spirit moves, if that can't touch you, you need now, the only thing that can save you is to meet Jesus and to say, Lord, I'm so bad that even when the Spirit moves, I can't be free. I'm going to take some individual attention here. If you don't meet me, I'm finished. He said, no man helps me. Now, that wasn't an angel he was talking to, so he was wrong, because the man of Calvary helped him. The man of Nazareth, the carpenter of Nazareth, the man helped him. He said, no man. And immediately Christ made that a lie. He did. But you know why he did? Because in a roundabout way, he answered his question. I'm not here just to watch this, he said, in a way. He said, I've tried. I want to. I've tried again and again, and I can't make it. So I need some added help. You've got to free me of these bondages before I can ever walk to that pool. Before I can ever move in thy spirit. Before my spirit can ever be free enough to move in the realms of your spirit when they're stirred, before the seasons of refreshing, I need to be set free from my locked up spirit and my locked up soul. And I don't care what kind of an atmosphere was here, if hell itself stood here to answer, I'd preach to it. Because there's power in this word. And when he asks a question, it doesn't go unanswered. We can leave the building without answering it, but sooner or later we'll have to answer the question. And I'd like your head bowed for just a moment. I have no other program for tonight. I don't even think it will help us to fall to the floor and cry. He has a question. I don't know if you caught it or not, but there was a multitude there when the Lord asked him a question. He didn't say he whispered it. It said he asked him. Everyone heard it. And this man says, Lord, no one's helped me. I'm here because I'm sick. I'm here because I'm blind. I'm here because I'm locked up in paralysis from head to foot. I can't even get to the waters when they move. I find that I'm such a shape that even when your spirit moves, I find like I'm on the side just watching it all. It all goes by me. It never does affect me. If you only knew tonight the importance it was when God would move by His Spirit, like say Thursday night, or the many nights that He does, or days that He does, to move in there. One of these days the Lord's going to release me to give a message I've been wanting to give for some time now on first fruits, the ones that first respond to God. The other point I saw in this was that, the first fruits. Those that first went into the water when the Spirit would move. Those that didn't lag in disobedience, those that didn't drag behind, thinking of their own mortal and immortal sins, they refused to live in sin's dread sway. It may not feel like it to you, but the Lord is here tonight. His Word is here. He's speaking. His Word is speaking. The Bible is speaking to you. It's one of those things that you could write a date beside. Because He's going to make that alive to you tonight. He's asking us a question in this church. Will you be made whole? I have observed again and again and again that every time the Spirit moves, very few can move. The rest are locked up in a paralysis of emotions, of soul, of spirit. We're so sick, so far gone, we can't even move when the Spirit moves. We need for Christ to come. He didn't come to that man. He said, well, if you can't move when my Spirit comes, then you're hopeless, buddy. Forget you. He didn't come that way. You know what it did? It moved Christ with compassion. To see that a man was so sick that even when He sent His Spirit, His angels, to stir the water, he still couldn't make it. So the Lord says, I'm going to do something about this. He didn't come and rebuke the man. If what you felt tonight with this word is a rebuke, that's not what He came for. He didn't even rebuke the man. He just came to someone who honestly knew that he was sick and said, Lord, I need some help. And the Lord came to him and said, Will you be made whole? Perhaps it's because the Lord would make us whole from our paralysis. That gripping paralysis upon our emotional life. Our gripping paralysis upon our mouth when it would speak out. A gripping paralysis upon our mind that goes into a fog when we want to respond to the Spirit. A gripping paralysis upon our legs when we would leap and dance for joy but can't. A leaping paralysis upon our heart. When it's gripped with fear. I need you. Oh, I need you. Save me now, my Savior, because I just come to you. That's all. You know what the Lord's waiting for, folks? It's very simple. It's an admittance, an open admittance. Message after message after message on truth, on the Spirit of the Lord speaking to the church saying, I know you say you're whole. I know you say you're rich. I know you say it doesn't look like it's all so bad, but I say unto you, it's bad. You're paralyzed from head to foot. You're sick from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. You're blind. You're naked. You're wasted, you're poor, you're miserable, you're wretched. I say to you, that's what you are. I need you, oh, I need you. Isn't that simple? An open admittance. The Lord asked him in the crowd, will you be made whole? And he looked up to the Lord. He said, yes, I would. I just don't have anybody to help me. I can't make this alone. I can't even ask you tonight. Do you notice how your lips clam up even now? If you were to just stand and say it, that's right. That's everybody in here. It's just that simple. The Spirit knows it. The Spirit knows us. He doesn't want our poor woes. Just simple obedience.